Still in today. Now into death's dark swelling river, like a warrior I shall come. Then I mean to shout salvation and go singing, going home. Help me.
Yeah.
I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior, come. That I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Come and hear me tell my story. All who love the Savior, come.
Can I tell you this today, that in the world that we're living in, we're going to have to choose on whose side that we're on.
Yeah.
We're going to have to make a clear distinction between where we stand and where others stand today. And I know in the day of all-inclusiveness and things that people say, well, you have to be tolerant of everybody. I'm not talking about tolerance. I'm talking about being on the side of the Lord or being on the side of the world.
Amen.
And can I say this? God's got plenty of room on
yep.
His side.
Amen.
Amen. He's got plenty of room on His side. I'm going to read just a couple verses in the book of James. And I'm going to read this, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer if you'd like to follow on. It's going to be in James chapter number 1, familiar scripture. And as we read these things, I covet your prayers. We'll read these couple of verses, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And as we said, we covet your prayers to pray for us that we would do exactly as God has us to do. James chapter number 1, James towards the end of the New Testament. Got him, say amen.
Amen.
You ain't got him yet, say hold up, preacher. All right, James chapter number 1, starting verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greet, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Would you help me pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, we come before you, Lord, one more time this day. We love you and we thank you, Father. We appreciate the singing. And Lord, we much appreciate the spirit in the singing. We much appreciate your word and we much appreciate, Lord, everything that you're doing in our midst. Lord, I'm glad that one day, Lord, all these valleys and battles that we've had, I love the song, one day we'll stand upon the mountaintop and look back and see why you had us go the way we go. I thank you, Lord, for a shepherd that's high and lifted up and knows what's going on. But God, we pray, Lord, Father, that we realize today that you know what's going on in this congregation. And Father, I pray for the attention of everybody here, young and old, little kids, adults, teenagers, youth, anybody, that our attention would be arrested, Lord, and focused upon your word, and our hearts open to receive exactly what you have to say. And that, Father, that revelation that only comes through and by you, it would reveal in our heart exactly where we stand, where we need to be, and what we need to do to be with you. Father, as it was said today, may I echo, Lord, there's only one way to get to you. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through and by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Lord,
amen.
We thank you for him, and we pray in his name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. I want to preach upon that double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to settle it in your heart and settle it in your mind just exactly which way that it is to go. May I say this today, that the lie of the world and the lie of the flesh and of the devil often paints the picture of, do not go the way of those Christian people. Don't go the way of them church people. They're judgmental. They're mean. They have no love. All they want to do is judge. And can I say this? On the other side, when I was lost, I did say those things. But I never looked at it from the other perspective. Brother James always thought they was always want to say things about the way I live and the way I act. I'll never forget, and I told my wife as he was standing over her uncle to preach his funeral, he was the first man to ever tell me to watch my mouth and keep my tongue around the family. Of course, I was lost, and man, I wanted to knock the floor out of him. But the big thing was, he probably whooped the floor out of me if I swung. But what he was doing was he was setting me straight on some things. Amen. And when the Lord finally broke down my heart and my walls was broke down that I had built up, they was not mean, they was not hating me, but they loved me and they had seen things in my life. Now being on this side, I can look back and say that there's somewhere along the line, you will have to do the same thing as I have done and the same thing as others have done. When the Lord comes and knocks upon your heart and reveals himself unto you, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to make up it in your heart. Be set in your heart and say, either you're going to go with God or going to go with the world. But can I remind you and warn you, the things that happens when you go with the world and go with things that oppose God, there's a hell that awaits. There's a hell that grows daily. There's a hell that's hot. And there's a hell that's still sizzling and popping with poor men. And where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched, down there is eternity. It's not lived and it's not spent. But you are in that place called hell. And as the old timers say, you'll die and die and die, but you'll never be able to fully die. All the pain and all the torments you'll feel. As I'm reminded in the Gospel of Luke, the rich man had all his senses. He had memories. He had sight and he had smell. He had hearing and he had a feeling. And oh, can I say this today? But if you go in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a life that cannot be spent, but it's a life that will never end, but it's a glorious and grand feeling. It's a life that always feels and feels and feels and overflows your heart. I want to preach today, you're going to have to decide. I want to preach today, you better make up your mind. As I was thinking upon things today, the past couple weeks, and we got to go, and I'll be honest, I've told some folks this, and I'm not trying to beat a drum or think that I'm somewhat super spiritual. Matter of fact, my wife would say it's a flaw that I have. I tend to nitpick things that's put out in the name of the Lord because I want to make sure before I go diving into it that it is of the Lord. I don't want to be attached to something that is not of God.
Amen.
And can I say this? It would do a lot of good for everybody here that nameth the name of the Lord. The Bible says that we should depart from iniquity. I mean, them things that don't bring up or edify God and edify the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to separate ourselves from those things. And you say, preacher, why? Are we better than everybody else? No. But if you don't separate yourself from the temptations of the Lord, as temptations of the world, as James said, blessed are they that endure the temptation. But I'm telling you, he didn't say, blessed are they that fall to the temptation. Because my Bible tells me that God tempts no man with evil. But with every temptation, he offers the way of escape. And that way of escape is Jesus Christ. Y'all hear me speak to this? And can I say this to that? He said that there is a way that there seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof and the ways of death. I want to say this today that we are living in the times where it says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 where the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And some folks would say, preacher, when do you think they're going to be here? Well, there's earthquakes all over the place. There's people that's being tormented. There's people that's in famine. There's people that's being butchered and beheaded. There's people that's being set on fire. And there's people out there going after greed and money. And the disparity in space between those that have and those that have not seems to get getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more as time marches on, the more this world tries to turn itself and separate itself from God. And I'm telling you, if perilous times was being told back then, they shall come. What do you think these times are that we're living in today? He said in the second verse of chapter number 3, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Somebody say amen right there. Covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy, effects and their truce breakers and false accusers. They're incontent and they're fierce. They're despisers of those that are good. They're traitors. They're heady and they're high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Amen. He said, from such turn away. He said, for this sort they are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. He says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've heard people say, preacher, it just seems like the days just keep getting worse and worse. Well, the days keep getting worse and worse because man is not looking for the things of God. They're looking for the things of their own flesh. They're trying to satisfy their own self and trying to find it through worldly things. I was talking to Brother Randy yesterday when the Apostle Paul addressed the church of Philippi in the 3rd chapter. He says, these people oppose the gospel of the cross, and their God is their bellies. They do not want to have anything that edifies God. They don't want nothing that will edify the church, but they want everything to edify themselves. Y'all hearing this, preacher? I mean, it seems like today's day and time, it's all about where your social status is and where you line up and stack up when it comes with everybody else. But can I tell you what all matters, as it was said, is when you leave this world, it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And I'm telling you, the most important thing that we should be in the forefront of our heart and in our mind is making up our mind and going with Jesus. And he'll take care of the judgment part. Some people say, preacher, why are you preaching this way? I want to tell you this from the depths of my heart. This has been on my heart for a couple of weeks. I'm concerned about some things. My heart is burdened down for some people. And my heart is burdened down for the church. And my heart's burdened down even for my own walk. Because these are the days and the times that we have heard would come shall come. But in the days, he said, preacher, what do we do? The Bible says in that very same book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I like what the one preacher says. He says doctrine is what is right. Reproof is when you ain't got it right. Correction is how to get it right. For instruction is how to keep it right. That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Because he goes on and says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort of all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. And I have to say right there and pause and say, brothers and sisters were smack dab in the middle of it. Amen. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Can I say this today? We're living in the time when we need to stand up and let everybody know just whose side that we are living on. We need to stand up and say, I'm going with the way of the church. I'm going with the way of God. I don't want to go with the things of the world. And I know people in today's day and time says, preacher, it just seems like it's so hurtful anymore. I've been told at nauseam that people like us and the preaching that we do here, they said they don't like that type of preaching. They said they just don't like it because it's hurtful, it's mean-spirited. The reason why they don't like this type of preaching, it's not the type that we're preaching, it's what we're preaching, because they don't like sound doctrine, they don't like the preached word of God, they won't make up their mind because all scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and in righteousness. Oh, yes, can I say this today? It do us all some good to say I'm forsaking the things of the world and I'm sticking and going with God. Oftentimes I've heard people say, preacher, in today's day and time, I mean, you just can't live things that way. But can I tell you, it is the times that we're living in. It is the times that we have to realize and say. Can I say this in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 1? I want to say this to the young people that's just sitting here with us today. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Can I say this today? There'll come a time, you young people, you're young, and you think you got everything ahead of you. But can I say this? We're finding out left and right. It don't matter how old you are. Death can come knocking on your door, and you can't say, hold on. You can't say, wait. It'll come for you as it will anybody else. To tell me that there's more people, it seems like, or we're hearing more like, of young people dying and leaving this world. But can I tell you, the Bible says, serve the Creator in the days of your youth. I know it seems like there's a popularity contest on every whim and on every stitch that you have going around. But can I tell you, it's not as important for you to be popular with the people around you as it is for you to be popular with God. I say amen. And popular and with the Spirit of God. Oh, we're living in the day. We're living in the time where people says, how many folks can look at me and say, I want to be with that person or hang out with that person. I want to say this today. The person that you should want to hang out with the most is the Spirit of God. He says, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. As we sit and look around, often people say, well, preacher, these young people, when they're exposed to things, it may spook them and scare them. But can I say this wrong? I think there's a lot of things that somebody would have spooked the far out of me I wouldn't have been with and been in when I was a young person. But y'all look at me that way, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's been mistakes. There's been things that I've done. I'd give anything if someone would knock me over the head with all that.
Amen.
And said, you ain't going.
Amen.
You ain't doing it. You ain't saying it. Don't get me wrong. My mom and daddy done the best they could. But I snuck out. I've done things that was not right. I give thanks for him. Jeff, he tell right. We all did things like, don't you all look at me like you're holier than thou.
Right.
Don't look at me like you did something you didn't do. Everybody wants to look at him. I said, well, I'm a saved person. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
There's none that doeth good and sinneth not, is what the Bible says. But the Bible also says that we need to serve Him in the days of our youth. We need to worship Him in the days of our youth. We need to make Him number one in the days of
Amen.
Our youth. Just say this in Psalm chapter number 9, verse number 12. It says, so teach me to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need, preacher, to number our days. Remember that time is fast running out. The sands of the hourglass, as the old soap opera would say, are falling through, and so are the days of our lives. Can I say this today? That every single one of us has got to realize this, that none of us is getting out of this world alive and on our own. Somebody's going to carry the casket. Somebody's going to say some words. And somebody may throw some sod. Oh, can I say this today? If the Lord comes back, the Bible says, as a tree fall, there shall it be.
Yep.
But can I say this today? If the Lord comes back, are you ready to go? If the Lord's come back, has your mind been made up? If the Lord comes back right now, do you have Him living in your heart? Do you know for 100% if you was to leave this world right now, if He was to walk through that door right now? He says, come on, children, we're going on up. We're heading on up to the big house. And we all started falling out of the church house. And you might say, preacher, it's not going to happen that way. I know, but would you humor me for a second? But as we're all falling out that door, would the Lord and Savior put His hand in front of you and say, no, you can't come. I cried and I begged and I cried and I begged. When that old preacher stood up there and sweated and spitted and hollered and tears run down his face and begged you to come, knowing that you was under conviction and knowing God was dealing with your heart and knowing He was spending time boring and tearing with the church, trying to get you to come and be born again. What He said to you, man, you turned away. You hardened your heart. You was double-minded and said, no, I still want to live a little bit in the world. And I'd give my life to the church.
Amen.
And give my life to the Lord. We're living in days where it's preached you can still live any old way you want to and go to hell. It ain't so. You know why it ain't so? Because God says that flesh and bone should not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, right?
He says that them that have been born again, them are they that sinneth not. Y'all don't tighten up on me. You say, preacher, I'm confused. Well, this flesh has not been born again.
Right.
God help us, Lynn. I still look the same I did after I got saved. I was hoping it'd be better. Some folks may not. Couldn't you get any better looking? Nobody make me no better looking.
No.
But Randy, he birthed again that which was on the inside.
Amen.
He took away that old stony heart and gave me a brand new heart.
Amen.
He took away that messed up spirit that was battling, and He put His Spirit on the inside to keep it at bay.
Amen.
And He took my soul and He washed it white as snow.
Amen.
And sealed it on the day of redemption.
Right.
But you got to make up your mind. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16, it says, redeem the time, because the days they're evil. In Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without redeeming the time. He said, time is up, folks. Time is now. I said this last couple weeks, I want everybody to remember this and put this in your heart. The devil and your flesh will never tell you, don't go with God. It's all right if you go with God. It's okay if you go to church. You know, you still ain't got to go now. You still got a lot of stuff you'd like to get done. A lot of fun you can still do. You know, the boys back down at the bar, they want you to hang out with them. The girls down there doing their thing, dancing and all that stuff. They want to do their own thing. We're going to fall. I mean, you just got plenty of time to do all that stuff. And he's lying to you.
That's right.
He's lying to you. I'm telling you, you don't know when your last breath is. And King David said, there's a step just between me and death. Many people this past week, and it was said today, that the names of those that's passed and left this world, you don't know when you'll meet up with death. Nobody ever knows. And I'm telling you, he's not chasing you. He knows exactly where he'll meet you at, and he'll take you out of this world. A lot of times people don't realize this, but you've got to. You've got to. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to decide on which side that you're going to be on. Let me give you some scriptures that it says in the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you some things that it says in Deuteronomy. This message is not nothing new. It's the message that's been echoed throughout the centuries and generations. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day, to record this day against you. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Amen. Moses is standing before the children of Israel, saying, I'm calling heaven to record this day against you. Yep. Which side are you going to be on? Who are you going to choose? You going to follow the Lord? You going to stick with God? Yeah. Let me give it to you this way. In Exodus chapter number 32, I believe it is. The Bible said Moses is on top of the mountain, and he's getting the Ten Commandments, and Joshua's about halfway up. And the Bible says that Aaron's down there and left with the church. If you'll have it, he was left, the pastor was left down there with the church. And the Bible says that the children of Israel got kind of worried because Moses had took too long from coming back down. And they pulled off all their jewelry and all their gold. And they gave it to Aaron and said, make us a god, make us a calf, that we may worship him. Now, a lot of folks leave it off right there. But when they began to dance and to praise around that golden calf, they were saying that that God was the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. No, not realizing they had forsook and not realizing that God has an all-seeing eye and an ear. It's an all-hearing ear. And they was forsook. God then forsook his ways after he had just delivered them from bondage. And the Bible says that God led Moses back down there and said, God, I hear the sound of war. And God said, brother, that's not war. That's them down there partying. That's them down there having themselves a time. They're naked and dancing around a golden calf. And they're having themselves a time. And some of you's looking at me right now like you've just swallowed a bug. I'm telling you, God sees everything that we're doing. Hears everything that we're saving. The Bible says every idle word shall be given account for. Amen. And the Bible says that God heard it and said, they're not down there fighting. They're down there sinning. He said, you best get down there, Moses, and do something with them.
Amen.
Moses gets down there, and this is the words he says in verse number 26. He says, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Ain't that right? I wonder if Moses was to pop up out of the baptistry behind me, jump up, get his pulpit, and knock me down and holler the same question. Who is on the Lord's side? And you know who the only people were that went to the Lord's side? It was the Levites. It was the Levites. Tina, there has never been a crowd following God. There's never been the majority following God. There's always been more of them than there is of us. Y'all hear this preaching? They've always said, well, you know, them other people might thought, well, you know, we're just as good as they are. We come from the same lineage. We come from the same stock. But the Bible says, Justin, that only the Levites that went to the Lord's side. Only the Levites had thought over. Only the Joshua is at the River Jordan. And they're all, or he's or getting ready to part from the world. He's at the River Jordan. He's at the end of the book of Joshua. And Joshua is standing there, and he proclaims to the children of Israel. He says, if it's good, whether or not for you to serve the Lord or to serve the gods of your fathers on the other side of the flood, let it be up unto you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You said, preacher, you're crazy. Is it that desperate? Is it that bad? Oh, yes, it is. It's that bad. The things, I try not to follow the news, but there's been things that's been going on. There's things that's been happening in this world and in this country and even in our own state that's being done in broad daylight. But we've got these on. I sat there and I thought about this, and I thought, as it says in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, that when David got to the battle and the children of Israel were set in array to fight against the Philistines, and they was on one side of the valley, and the children of Israel on the other side of the valley, and David comes. And David was sent by his dad just to check on his brothers. But when he seen the challenge had come out to go after, to see who would fight against Goliath, to see who would fight and who would win and who would serve who, nobody from the children of Israel was willing to step up. They all just stood there. Some people say, well, preacher, what are you saying that towards us for? I wonder how many of us would have stood up and said, I'll fight.
Yep.
I wonder how many of us would have put the armor on, Brother James, and walk out in front and said, I'll go. I'll go. But notice this, they all shook and they all were scared because their mind wasn't made up. It's easy, as it's been preached in the last 3 Wednesdays, it's easy to come to church, it's easy to sit in a pew, and it's easy to sit there and think that's all the God that we need and all the spiritual time that we need when we get out throughout the week and do the things of everyday life. It's like we have a different life throughout the week, and we don't have to make up our mind. We don't have to come across and do the hard decisions and the hard choices of life. But I'm telling you, the enemy is always on the attack. The Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about whom see he may devour. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people getting bit and devoured. But David said this in 1 Samuel chapter number 15. The Bible says, and David said, what have I done now? What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? 30 verse 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant keep thy father's. I kept my father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And he said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Amen. He was standing on the Lord's side. You said, preacher, do you think it's that bad? Yeah. Here's what I was sitting there. God asked to go to that movie yesterday. And I'm sitting there, and everything that was going on in that movie, unfortunately, I knew what they was talking about. And everything they had in that movie, they had trials about people standing up for Jesus, standing up for God, and they was put on trial. And they showed the credits, and I was asking James, and how many cases were there? Did you remember?
About
24. 24 cases in the United States of America, where our money says in God we trust. Where there's still a King James Bible sitting in the courthouses, where they still have prayer in some places in our capital, where they still have sessions of Congress. But if a person stands up and proclaims Jesus Christ, they're on trial.
Yep.
And it's not going on in Washington, D.C. It's not going on in just New York or California, but it was happening in Tennessee.
Amen.
It was happening in West Virginia. It was happening in good old boy country, God-feared,
right,
God-loving places. They was coming after folks,
yep,
who believe in the Lord. And some folks say, preacher, are you doom and gloomer? I'm not a doom and gloomer, but I am a realist. The Bible says when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You said, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to warn you. You said, preacher, I don't want to make a decision right now. Well, can I tell you this, friend? But you not wanting to make a decision, you already made a decision.
Yep.
Because if you don't want to go with Christ, that means you're against him.
Yep.
I've heard people say, well, no, you can't say that. I know I can't say it. He says it.
Amen.
Not me. Let me give you some things that's happened here recently. Back in March, the NFL told and sent letter to the governor of Georgia, Nathan Beale, who was about to sign a religious liberty bill, which would have exempted those with religious convictions from catering to those of the homosexual movement and their community. That means the saying that if they came and said you have to do this against your religious preferences, if you have to do these things, if you do those things, the NFL says if you do it, we ain't gonna bring no Super Bowls to Atlanta, Georgia. This happened back in March, last month.
Yep.
You know what that governor did? He vetoed that bill. He vetoed that bill. The U.S. Supreme Court here recently is expected to decide whether on a case on a Christian-owned pharmacy. I do believe it was in Washington. Because they refused to stock the shelves with a self-aborting drug. That way when they take this drug, it would induce women who was pregnant, it would induce them into an abortion. And this Christian family who owned the pharmacy said they wasn't going to stock the drug. Now there was more information, but I don't know if that information was factual or not, so I left it out. I just put the things the Supreme Court said. Ralph Thriftway, owned by the Storman's family, petitioned the High Court in January to review the case after the U.S. Court of Appeals of the Ninth District reversed the district's court decision. The Stormans say that the Supreme Court ruling in 1993 protects them, ruling that it says states may not pass laws prohibiting people from engaging or refusing to engage to conduct their for religious reasons. But the Ninth District's decision, if it stands, will be the first time in American history that they have forced health care providers to participate in taking a human life. That's not Pakistan. That's good old United States of America.
That's right.
That's not Afghanistan. Can I say this? They're all about to pitch a fit. That's not ISIS. That's our government. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now get this one. This one here about made me vomit. North Carolina was under attack from professional sports, the NBA, and the U.S. Soccer Association. Because the governor of North Carolina, Pat McCrory, recently signed a bill which mandated that transgenders have to use the bathroom corresponding to their biological gender.
Amen. Yes.
He had to sign a bill and make a bill that boys have to go to the boys' bathroom and girls have to go to the girls' bathroom. And the National Basketball Association, who some of our young people and I used to watch, and the U.S. Soccer Association says, you've made us upset, we're pulling everything out. And the U.S. Soccer Association says, I don't think we're going to win games if we play North Carolina.
Yep.
The governor went back and revised the bill and says, but if it's on private property, you can do whatever you want to do. And if some of you don't understand what I'm saying, hey, daddies, when your little girl goes to the bathroom in McDonald's, that's a private bathroom, that's privately owned, that means some pervert can walk in that bathroom while your girl's in there. Oh, look at me like you're about to get sick, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
In too many times and too many ways, so many folks won't take a side. They won't take a side. You know what the common thing that gets said nowadays, friend? It doesn't affect me, so why should I get involved? You know what? It's affecting you now. I've heard people say, what do we do? Well, the Bible says you better redeem the times, for the days that are evil. They want to nurse sound doctor wrong. They want stories. Feel good stories.
That's right.
Tell me something good about myself. Had a man try to tell me, he said, Jason, I don't like the way you all put it, because I think every man's good. And I understand what he's saying. I said, but the Bible says that every man's heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. In this day that we're living in, some folks will say, well, let's let the preacher take the stand. I'm only one person. And no one thinks about it. Oh. Nobody thinks about it until it happens to them. Nobody thinks about it until it happens to them. There's people burying their loved ones, and they have no clue whether or not they'll get to meet their loved ones again, Vicki. They have no clue. Some folks say, "Preacher, I like the messages that are all happy and make me smile." Well, if you choose the Lord's side, He's dealing with your heart and you pick Him. I've always found, James, He's put a smile on my face. Can I tell you what David said in one of the most famous chapters, and we love chapters in the Bible? He said, "In the presence of my enemies, the Lord prepares a table before me." Psalm chapter 23. You said, "Preacher, but if I go with God, there's going to be people that's going to laugh at me." They laugh at us anyway. People laughed at me when I was lost. They laugh at me now. People may make fun of me. They're going to anyway. But here's the thing. If you wind up in the ICU tomorrow, does it matter what they think, or does it matter what the Lord thinks? If you get the doctor's chair swiveled around, they look you square in the eye, and I've had this happen to me, and they say, "You've got cancer." And you get that punch in the gut, and everything falls down. Who do you run to? Who do you run to? Well, I'm glad to say that I know by experience there's a bunch of other people in here who can say the same thing. If you make God your choice, if you get with Him, He's dealing with your heart, and you come to Him and give Him your life, you choose Him. The Bible says He's choosing you. When it comes time for the ICU, or it comes time to the end of your days, it may be fearful, but you've got a friend that'll hold your hand.
Yes, amen.
You'll have a friend that'll hold your hand. Jesus said, "In this world you're going to have tribulation." He said, "To be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And He can overcome your problems. He can give you peace. But you can't be double-minded. You can't say, "I love God." And this may upset some folks, but this is some of the things that God's been showing me. You can't say on Sunday you love God and throw up your hands and sing the songs of Zion and then run back out in the world and do the things of the world and the things of the devil and say you love Him. Because the Bible says you're unstable. The Bible says that many will say in that day, "Lord, did we cast out devils in Thy name? Lord, did we prophesy in Thy name?" That's church folk.
Yep.
That's so-called preachers. And Jesus will say unto them, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Is it real? Yeah. Some folks may not think it is now, but one day after a while, you'll see how real it is. And by then, I hope and pray that right now you make a decision, that you settle it in your heart, you make up your mind, time's running out, what are you going to do with the Lord?